stand by for action.
Greenville, I am on a battle station.
Anything can happen in the next hour.
Welcome once again to the Paranoid School Rock Show. My name's Armitage, and over the course of the next hour, as I've been doing since the 21st of July 2007, making this podcast 9 years old on Thursday, I'll be playing you music that you should hear on the radio, but don't. I was in two minds whether I should celebrate the 9th anniversary of the Paranoid Squirrel podcast on next week's episode, as Saturday is closer to the actual date than today, but then that's after the event, and do celebrate something after it's happened. Talking about after the event, it seems Saturday is the day, primarily just after I finish recording that week's podcast, that the postman delivers something that I've either been waiting to play you, UK Sub's first ever recording on limited 7-inch, or in the instant of the damned DVD Don't You Wish That We Were Dead, to talk about. Now, you all know The Damned are one of my three all-time favourite life-changing bands, so much so that I went to both of the UK premieres of Wes Orkanski's documentary on the band. I say both, as the original 9 o'clock screening, which obviously I had a ticket for, sold out with a second showing announced for 3 hours beforehand, which meant the second was actually the first, and the premiere no longer was, so I got a ticket for that. I thoroughly enjoyed both screenings. So obviously, as soon as the DVD was going to come available, I was going to make plans to get my grubby little hands on the thing. Bizarrely, in this day of internet ordering, the US version went on sale a month or so ago, with the UK release set for summer, early autumn. But with Amazon UK selling the American version, which as well as the DVD came with a Blu-ray disc, for £15, including shipping, it's a bit of a no-brainer if you're able to wait for a month for it to arrive. The first thing I watched as I loaded the, thankfully, Region 3 DVD into the player were the two extras. Captain's Tour of Croydon, which included a trip to RMS Studios, where my mate Al works, and the deleted No Room originally for the doomed Henry Bioski segment. Great stuff. Then I proceeded to watch the documentary, but after the hour and 50 minutes had finished, I felt a mixture of extreme disappointment and sadness, because as much as I love Captain and believe he is one of the most underrated guitarists this country has ever produced, he still comes across as a complete dickhead who is shit scared that Vanian one day will quit the band, leaving him on the financial scrap heap. His argument with Rat makes him look like the kid who picked up the damn football and taken it home with him. It's my football, and as you didn't give me any of your sweets, I'm not going to let you play with it. As for his refusal not to play the Rat-penned Stab Your Back on the damn, the Black Album anniversary gigs due to lyrical content, Born to Kill, it pains me to say this, but I'd be quite happy to see a sensibleless Damned. Bring back Roman. It's not as if they've released shed loads of albums since Roman was last in the band. Three, and one of them has been airbrushed out of history, with the others only recently getting songs aired live. After singing Brian and Rat at the 100 Club on the 6th, even though the two songs that they played together were very much hit or miss, pun intended, they do conjure up a sense of magic. If Lemmy was still with us, I would have said rope him on bass, get Dave back on vocals and play the first two albums. And as I said on the last week's show, as I view Brian's last album, The Guitar That Dripped Blood, as the natural successor for Music For Pleasure, play a bunch of tracks off that as well. We'll be right back. Tregana. That's it. Rats Gabis, Dave Vanian, Brian James and Dave Tregana on bass. And now that would be a band worth seeing. What is it with bass players at the moment? It seems that AC/DC are about to lose another member, as Cliff Williams has said that he will be backing off recording and playing live with them after the current tour with Axl Rose has finished. Telephone call for CJ Ramone. I can but dream. Right, the song you just heard before that waffle was Brian James and I Can Make You Cry, which is the B-side to Ain't That a Shame, that features Stuart Copeland on drums. Came out in about 1980, I believe. Lifting Me From My State of Despair over the Don't You Wish That We Were Dead DVD was The News, that one of my other all-time favourite bands will be playing the Stock Festival in Belgium July next year, with the teasing sentence of there may be more ahead .. time to start paying the dues. It looks like the Helicopters are going to hit the 2017 festival circuit. My big worry /fear is that it'll be for the UK Donington. If they do, I'm only going to go for that day just to see them, then I'm going to bugger off home.
Oh,
because I've played two of my three favourite bands, I thought I'd make it a hat trick. And yes, I know, I didn't actually play any Damned, but I talked about them, so that counts. As I'm talking about favourite things, one of my three top favourite drummers, in this instance, that'll be Simon Edwards, has recently joined The Jewel. Over the years, I've been aware of The Jewel, but our paths have only crossed once before when they played the 100 Club, when Dave Renegade played guitar with them. So we're talking, what, 2005 to 8? Of course, being the great friends with Simon that I am, I only found out about his new position through social media. Friends, eh? The core members of The Jewel have always been Tara on vocals and Andy on keyboards. Joining them are, as well as Mr. Edwards, Andy Duke on bass, and following Simon from The Roulettes, Kill Cartel, and Top Buzzer, Ed on guitar. The Jewel have a brand new album out on the 1st of August called Waging War, open brackets, Hold to Love, close brackets. Unfortunately, Simon joined the band after the album was recorded, but watching the video to the first single from it, Hold to Love, no brackets, even if he is drumming along to someone else's drum tack, occasionally you see him slip adding a few Simonisms. I think I'll be reacquainting myself with The Jewel live very soon. In a day, it was trawling through Kerrang! Sounds All for us Londoners, popping up to Shades to find out what new and exciting bands needed us to part with our hard-earned cash. Of course, in this internet age, that excitement has somewhat diminished. However, I still get at that rush of I must actively seek out everything that that band has done when people post links on Facebook or email me stuff. One such post came from Paul Elphick, a guy I've known for over 30 years. We started our first jobs at the same firm, formed a band, the legendary Howling Mad, where he went on to play bass in Resentment and Hangnail before moving on to the realms of merchandise. Anyway, enough of the history lesson. Paul posted a YouTube link that at first glance had me thinking it was classic era Motorhead. Bearing in mind, I was looking at it on my phone, they were a three-piece. The bassist vocalist was playing a Rickenbacker, long black hair, looked like Lemmy, facial hair was going on, and he had on a pair of trousers, the sort that Mr. Kilminster wore for the Ace of Spades photo shoot. Of course, it wasn't Motorhead at all. The band in question was Asmovil, that's Asomvil, because knowing me, I pronounced it totally wrong, of course I did. It would be a cheap shot to say that the band are Motorhead copyists or wannabes, influenced, you know, guilty as charged, but that and a few style similarities is as far as it goes. Every band that straps on guitars and picks up a pair of drumsticks looks to the past for new ideas. Ask Paul McCartney about Little Richard, just don't ask Jimmy Page about anything. The band aren't new, having formed in 1993, so I am sadly well behind the times on this one. However, it wasn't until 2009 that the band released their debut LP, Kamikaze. Unfortunately, a year later in October 2010, their original bassist and vocalist JJ Winter was involved in a fatal car accident. The band carried on with Ralph occupying JJ's position. Now, I might have got this completely arse about face, but I think the band's new album, and first to feature Ralph, is called A Dream to Some... A Nightmare to Others. Two tracks have already found their way onto the internet. Railroaded, which is free to download from their Bandcamp site, and the one Paul shared on Facebook, which is this one, The Nightmare Ain't Over.
Yeah.
Dolmans, who managed to fuse the best of pop and punk, have a brand new single out on Pop Detective Records. The A-side is Play It, open brackets, on repeat, close brackets, which you're about to hear in a moment, coupled with a cover of Katrina and the Waves' Do You Want Crime. Talking of covers, the Dolmans' last 7-inch was a two-cover affair of Susie Quattro's Tear Me Apart and a high-spirited rendition of the New York Dolls four-stroke Sylvain Sylvain classic Teenage News, which you can find on Beluga Records. To last week's show, you'll remember I received an email that was seriously vague when it came to talking about the band I was supposed to be listening to with a view to playing them. After a bit of copying and pasting, I found out who they were, but said it would have been great if in future, if you want to hook me up with a band that you think will do it for me, I need a bit more than a couple of dodgy looking emails. Taking me at my word was Michael Caine. Yes, I know. I have already played The Likes of You from his and The Morning After's new album forward stroke EP Insult to Industry, which is out on the 6th of August on episode 503. However, attached to his biography was a track called Back on the Nine. His bio reads that he was brought up on Tom Petty, Bruce Springsteen, before emulating his heroes The Ramones and The Clash when he started playing in punk bands. But does his vision of power punk rock hold up to his word? The answer is a resounding yes. Michael can also be found playing rhythm guitar in the Cheap Cassettes. Now, as well as emails, I can be reached through the powers of Messenger via Facebook, which is exactly what Hacking Gosta's bassist with The Curse did to me Monday evening with the words, "You need some new songs," which was swiftly followed by, obviously, a song. Even though I was listening to my phone, it sounded great. So great that my phone is now an X phone. It has ceased to be in the manner of a Norwegian Blue. It's been on its last legs for, you know, about a month, but typically decided to end its life 5 months before I was due for a free upgrade. Anyway, I'm all sorted now, even if all my contacts have now vanished faster than a Brexit politician. Yes, The Curse. The track in question was called No Doubt, and is a rough mix from the guy who is mixing the follow-up to 2014's World Domination album. As Hacking pointed out, the vocals are at the moment a tad too high in the mix, but is being redressed. He also found time to email me four demos, one of which, King of Irritation, is an absolute stonker of a song, which I'll play on next week's show. That's right, I'm going to keep you begging for more. You know what? Because it is so incendiary and blistery hot, I'm going to play it right now. The King of Irritation, very close to his mouth. The King of Irritation, always know how to try. The King of Irritation is the number one. Always in the center, always wasting your time. He ain't got no money. Yeah. Remember, that was just a demo, hence the cut-off ending. Just think how good the finished product will be. I'm going to be a bit naughty here, as we're in unmixed territory, and play They Only Love You When You're Dead, which is a brand new song by Adam Bomb, who very briefly leaked it onto his Facebook page. I spotted it when I was just leaving work, but by the time I got home to my computer, Adam had already taken it down. I did message him to ask if he could send me the MP3 to play on this week's show, but he said I'd have to wait until it was mixed. That was until it popped up on his timeline for even less time than it was originally, leaving me to look and act like Warner Brothers Looney Tunes Tasmanian Devil as I rapidly downloaded it. It's a good job Adam now lives back in the States. I love you, Adam. Sorry, mate.
They only love you when you're dead.
This program to bring you a special report.
I didn't even know you wrote that song. And if I knew the words I'd sing along, I heard you made a last record or two. I think your face will be my new tattoo. I might even buy your MP3 unless I find and make you download it free. Your song is just a
A few weeks ago, I mentioned that the US, primarily Southern California, does glam better than us Brits, saying it was far more enjoyable driving down Sunset Boulevard listening to classic Guns N' Roses than in the pissing British summer rain listening to Tiger Tales. Having said that, though, nothing beats cheering you up when driving in pissy weather than Tiger Tales. The band's new album, Blast, has been in the shops for a while, and joining only original member Jay Pepper on it are Rob Wild on vocals, Matthew Blackout on drums, and Bertie Burton on bass. The band has already put out two singles from Blast, with the just-released third, God's Country, sporting a great video homage to the Welsh national football team, who did so well in the Euros, or as we like to call them in my neck of the woods, West England. Yucky da.
We love everything about you.
Dan Vapid, formerly of Screeching Riesel and my personal favourite ex-band of his, The Methadones, third album with the cheats all wound up, is due out on the 9th of September via Asian Man Records for the princely sum of $10, which if you pre-order will be shipped 2 weeks prior to its official release date. Apparently, the lyrical content is much more family-friendly than their debut, and two, that have been inspired by the birth of his son Max 5 years ago. Titles include Ding Ding Ding, The Gate Goes Down, Red Fire Engine, I don't want to eat my vegetables. Gimme, gimme, gimme ice cream. And this one. Beep, beep, beep.
In a traffic jam, or waving at a friend, it's coming to an end. Beep, 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 beep. Some look happy, some look mean, some can symbolize a thing. That's what mommy cuts her red. They need to accelerate, so if you move too slow, the tunnel demons go. That's how you left it numb. Beep, 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 beep.
Dan Vapid and the Cheats will also be releasing a split 10-inch with the Horror Section on Eccentric Pop Records in the autumn as a tribute to cult TV programme The Twilight Zone. You have been warned. On Tuesday evening, I was interrupted tweeting Trainspotting Live for using an aerial shot of an APT instead of an HST at the beginning of their segment on the 125 by a Facebook notification from the Sick Livers that without warning, in the words of Ginge, bang, we're out of here. With immediate effect, the Sick Livers are no more. What you witnessed at Slugfest 9 was the last show to be played by the band. Words for once failed me. I mean, an APT was an electric, and as we all know, the HST is diesel. The BBC did reply to my tweet saying that they had spotted their error earlier in the day and had re-edited the footage, but unfortunately the wrong clip was still aired. A likely story. Wednesday had me foaming at the mouth as presenter Peter Snow kept calling EMUs, which I'm sure as you know stands for electric multiple units, EMUs, which are flightless birds found in Australia or at the end of Rod Hull's arm. guess the sick livers can now be filed in the cult status category. Many will claim to have seen them as the legend grows. Sadly, as you know, I didn't attend the aforementioned Slugfest night, making Death Time Assembly the last time the sick livers fondled my eardrums. They will be sorely missed. Bunch of fucktards. At least we still got the role models and the hit priests to fall back on. And it's just under 2 weeks until the aforementioned hit priests and role models are up at the Black Heart, where the hit priests will have a limited 8-inch. That's right, I said 8-inch single for sale. Here are the role models and goodbye and hooray from their latest and greatest album, Forest Lawn. Another thing that really annoyed me this week was found in the pages of the latest classic rock magazine. As part of their feature on the 50th anniversary of the release of the Beatles' Revolver album, they had a side panel where John and Yoko's son Sean was asked and talked about what his favourite Beatles albums were. Unfortunately, the photo that classic rock used of John, Yoko and Sean was taken at the Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus, which was a full 7 years before Sean was born. Obviously, the boy in the picture was Julian. Hey Jude indeed. The magazine did redeem itself with a small feature on the Damned's debut album, Damn Damn Damn, but lost points for still not reviewing the band's 40th anniversary gig at the Royal Albert Hall. It also had a rather excellent review of the Johnny Thunders double So Alone LP on Remarkable Records, quite rightly giving it 9 out of 10. Looking at the big clock, it seems time has caught up with us. Either that or Mrs. A is waving furiously at me through the conservatory window, ready to be taken up to the Building Society. So I'm going to end this week's show with Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers with Richard Hell and Love Comes in Spurts. Thanks once again for listening. Until next week, take it easy.